We'll invite you to the book of Acts for a few minutes this morning, Acts chapter 4. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be concluding our series in personal evangelism this morning. We've been sort of working backward through the book of Acts. Last week we were in chapter 10, the week before that in chapter 8, and now chapter 4. We've been trying to observe the way the early church evangelized, and here in Acts chapter 4, we have one of the most important chapters with regard to the evangelism of the church. Now, what we really need to do is examine chapters 3 and 4 together, but for the sake of time and your patience, we will just summarize chapter 3 and bring us on into chapter 4 for some observations. In chapter 3, Peter and John go up to the temple to pray, and they encounter a man who is lame, and the man is asking for alms. Typical, nothing unusual about that. But the Lord impresses Peter to say to this man that silver and gold have I none. I almost want to sing that phrase. I think we have a little chorus that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And that is exactly what happened. Well, as we come to chapter 4, oh, and by the way, Peter takes that opportunity because a whole bunch of people came together to see this miracle. And Peter takes the opportunity for the gospel, and he preaches the gospel to these people. But in chapter 4, verse 1, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, notice that they're not, the phrase that's used here is the resurrection from the dead. Of which Brother Darrell spoke at the Lord's table this morning. It's the resurrection from the dead. That is the great truth of the gospel. Now, don't misunderstand. We're not minimizing the cross. And if you'll come tonight, you'll see that reemphasized. But the point is that it's the resurrection from the dead that's got everybody stirred up. And it's not just the Jews. It's later on, with the Apostle Paul, it's the Greeks, the Gentiles as well. They get all stirred up when somebody mentions resurrection from the dead. It's almost like the creation issue in the day in which we live. People get worked up when you start talking about special creation as opposed to evolution. Well, in the spiritual realm, you start talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you get people stirred up also. And indeed they do. But the point, before we move on, the point I want to emphasize to you here is not everybody is excited about the gospel. If you haven't discovered that already, you will if you get involved in personal evangelism. And I'm talking about religious people. And I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians. I'm not talking about Muslims or Hindus or others. They too. But even many that call themselves Christians, if you go out and start doing personal evangelism, they're not going to be happy with you. It's amazing, but it's true. So these people weren't happy with Peter and John. And verse 3, they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But their effort was not in vain. Many of those who had heard the message believed. They heard the word and they believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So there was added to the church a vast number of people that very day. And it came about, this is verse 5 of Acts 4, it came about on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander. Annas and Caiaphas, those two rascals are still around, aren't they? And still troublemakers, as always. And others of high priestly descent, and when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Well, praise God, what an opportunity. tell us about this. Oh, okay, great. Let me tell you about this. Here's and we talked about this earlier in the series. Here's 1 Peter 3:15. Always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for an answer concerning that which you have seen and heard. You're always ready to give a defense of your personal experience with Christ. And that's all that Peter does here. He doesn't preach the book of Romans to them. And that would be all right, but he doesn't do that. He tells them the straight facts. So, here is our point. You can be an amazing witness for Christ. When we get to verse 13, we're going to discover that that's the term that's used. They were amazed at Peter and John. People can be amazed at you too, but it's not so much a matter of being amazed at us as it is of our resurrected Christ. So, how can you be an amazing witness? Three-step program. Don't you like step programs? Everybody's got one today. So we'll conclude this series with a three-step program. Step one, be a Spirit-filled Christian. A Spirit-filled Christian. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, wasn't he filled with the Spirit back in Acts chapter 2? Indeed he was, as was John, who is with him here. But the filling of the Spirit is a repeated thing. And it has to be repeated. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are empowered by the Spirit for witness. That's what Jesus promised in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem. And by the way, what is a witness? It's someone who gives testimony. If this were a courtroom and this were the bench and over here was the witness stand and you were asked to take the witness stand, the attorneys would ask you to tell what you know, what you saw, what you experienced. Not what you thought or what was implied or anything like that. They'll stop you if you try and tell that. They want to know what you saw, what you heard, what you personally experienced. And that's what giving a testimony is. That's what being a witness is. Here's what I know. They're not asking you to go into a theological discourse. Now, there may be opportunities for that too. We're just simply saying that's what a witness on the witness stand does. He tells what he knows. She tells what she saw or heard, as the case may be. And so Peter is filled with the Spirit yet again. He's empowered yet again to be a witness. So, let me put it to you this way. First observation here. Open your heart. That's what you have to do to be filled with the Spirit. You have to want to be filled with the Spirit. I know that I've read books, and maybe you have too, that if you... If you do this, 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 and this, you'll automatically be filled with the Spirit. I believe that you have to do what they did. Acts 1:8 says you will be filled, and Acts chapter 10 goes on to say they were continually in prayer. For 10 days they prayed, and the Spirit descended. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, and by the way, what did they do when they were filled? They preached the gospel, but they did it in tongues, because there were so many different dialects represented in Jerusalem, so they preached the gospel in or by a special gift of languages on that day. They're going to be filled again on this day, and we're going to see what results this time. But for now, verse 8, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers and elders of the people. He opened his heart, he was filled with the Holy Spirit at this opportunity for witness. And second observation, you have to open your mouth. But don't open your mouth before you've opened your heart. Don't open your mouth before you're filled with the Spirit. So he's filled with the Spirit and he opens his mouth. Now, there are lots of ways to open your mouth, because if you're like me, You're kind of a shy person. And yes, I know some of you are already saying, you're kidding, you're not a shy person. Well, I'm not a shy person in the pulpit. But if we're encountered on the street corner or in Walmart or something like that, it's not easy for me to open a spiritual conversation. But there are more ways to open your mouth than just opening your mouth. There's this way. There's a rack there on the table at the back, and here are tracks. And these can be our mouthpiece for us. How to become a Christian. You can open your mouth that way. Or there are these. Gospel of John. Or there's another way to open your mouth, but New Testament. Gideon New Testament, if you're a Gideon. Mailbox Club, if you're a Mailbox Club person. I remember Brother George used to go walking or jogging or whatever, and he'd have a hip pocket full of Mailbox Club lessons. If he encountered someone, especially a child, he'd offer them Mailbox Club lessons. There are all sorts of ways to do this. By the way, you could get even more up-to-date than I am. You could do it electronically. I understand there are MP3. Well, we talked about this last week. You can do all kinds of electronic things that are far beyond me, but you younger ones know what I'm talking about here. And you can give. I knew a man. This really goes back to when people still used. Anybody here remember what a cassette tape is? Okay, yeah, we remember, but nobody uses them anymore. But this man back in the day would have gospel messages on a cassette tape. Everybody had a cassette player in their car in those days, and he'd give away tapes. And you can do the same thing with the CDs for a while, and then there are these little thumb drives and things like that. So there are all sorts of ways to do this. And so Peter opens his mouth, and what does he do? Let's read it. It's worth rereading this. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Now I'm going to have to tell you something. He had to be filled with the Spirit to say that to these men. This man, Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. You put him to death, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. Now, if God raised him from the dead and you killed him, where does that put you? Well, it puts you where you need God to do something for you, too, because you are in big trouble. And for Peter to say that in their faces took some power. That now you understand, this is Peter who denied the Lord three times on the night of his betrayal. He couldn't, and I've heard this. I guess it comes from John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan's character is discussing Peter's failing. There, he said. Peter couldn't even stand up to a little girl. And really, that's quite the truth. This would have been a little servant girl that kept accusing him of being one of Jesus' followers, and he kept denying it. It wasn't me. I don't know him. But this is the same Peter who is now in your face with these rulers of the people who have the power to arrest them. That's what they've done. Arrested them. But he says, you crucified and God raised him from the dead. By this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He, that is Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders. You crucified him, you rejected him, but which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I've always loved that word, must. Not you can be, you should, it'd be a good idea. You must be saved. There is no other way. So here, Peter gives them the essence of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Christ rose from the dead. And he is the only way. You must be saved. And nobody needed salvation more than this crowd before whom Peter and John stood. So, be a Spirit-filled Christian. Open your heart to the will of God, and it's God's will that you be filled with the Spirit. Do you want to know how to be empowered by the Spirit? Ask. Ask. Now, we're going to get down to that specifically before the message is over, but ask. These people were praying people, as we're going to see again this morning. So ask to be filled with the Spirit, and then, only then, open your mouth. And open it if you're the kind of person that has no problem literally opening your mouth and speaking. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do that if that's what the circumstances call for. But even then, here are other ways, and some I don't have in hand. Wait a minute, I've got... Here's the third way. Here's another way. Gideon Testament, or I don't have a Mailbox Club lesson up here with me, but they're in the foyer. And those are ways that are easy for us right here in Valdosta, Georgia. I'll come back to this in just a moment, but step two. How you can be an amazing witness. Verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. That word translated marveling, amazed, it's a word that is used of a conjurer. A magician on the stage. Have you ever watched them? Have you ever been to a performance of a magician? You know, and it is amazing. You know, you're watching this going on and that going on, and the rabbit pops out of the hat or whatever it is. It's an amazing, and that's the whole point of that. Well, the way to be an amazing witness is to be filled with the Spirit, and secondly, to spend time with the Master. You have to spend time with Christ. The devotional life. That's what we're talking about here. Now, these men spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus, but they spent time in His presence. And you and I can do the same thing, not walking the hills of Galilee or anything like that, but walking the pages of Scripture. We can spend time in His presence. And here's what happens. He will give you confidence, number one. He will give you confidence as they observe the boldness, the confidence of Peter and John. Not the arrogance. And believe me, if it's arrogance, you didn't get that from Jesus. You didn't get that from Him. He was a meek man, a humble person. All the greats of the Bible were humble people. It says of Moses, and if there was any mere man that had reason to be arrogant, it would have been Moses. But the Scripture says he was the meekest man on earth. He was so humble. And all the greats were humble. If it's arrogance, it didn't come from God. But if it's confidence, if it's boldness, that's precisely what the Holy Spirit gives a person when you're filled with the Spirit, and when you spend time with Christ. The way to stay filled with the Spirit is to spend time devotionally with the Lord Jesus. Now, hear me carefully in case we're confused on this. Devotional time and study time, and I'm talking about like study time to teach Sunday school or whatever opportunity you have, they're not the same thing. Study time is where you're getting prepared to give something to somebody else. Devotional time is where the Lord is giving something to you. And so these were men who had spent time with the Lord Jesus. And as a result, they were bold. They had confidence. Secondly, they had wisdom, because the Sadducees, the elders, etc., etc., they understood, they came to perceive that they were uneducated and untrained men. The word uneducated here means unlettered. They didn't have a bunch of letters after their name. Now, there's no... It's not bad to have that, but you don't have to have that to be an amazing witness for Christ. Peter and John didn't. They were uneducated. Now, Paul, he had all the letters after his name, but he wasn't great because of the letters. He was great because he was like Peter and John. And you can be too. Not because you've become an apostle, but because you spend time with Christ. You spend time with Christ. And he'll give you the wisdom. The other word here, you're not going to like this. The other word here is the Greek word idiotes. And if that sounds like what you think it sounds like, that's where we get our word idiot. Now, it's not what the Greek word means. Our English meaning for idiot is not what the Greek word means. But that's where we get our word idiot, idiotes, from the Greek. And it means someone who is, well, as this translation has it, untrained, uneducated, and without the proper training and credentials. And they didn't have, now you understand, they had the proper training, but it wasn't the credentialed training. All right? It wasn't the recognized training. They had been trained by Jesus. You can't get any better training than that. But it wasn't the recognized training. And so the wisdom and the power that they had to communicate could only come from one source. It had to come from spending time with the Lord. This is why, and I hope if you have never read the story of the founder of the Navigators. Help me, Sheila, my mind's going blank. Dawson, thank you. Dawson Trotman. If you've never read his story, you need to read it. If you don't have a copy, see me afterwards. I'll see if I can scrounge up a copy. He's amazing. He's just like these two men, Peter and John. He was uneducated and untrained, but he spent time with the Lord. Devotional devotion. Devotion to devotions was his hallmark. And I've always been amazed. You read his story and he talks about memorizing a handful of verses. And he says that was the beginning. That was the start of my first 1,000 verses that he memorized. The first 1,000, you understand. Not the second 1,000 or however many 1,000 on. But he started. He started. And you and I can start too. That's what I hope you're doing with our weekly memory verse. In any event, he'll give you wisdom and he'll give you authority, thirdly. He'll give you authority. They were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Whose authority will he give you? His authority, Jesus' authority. Do you? And by the way, do you have that authority? You do. You do. But unless you spend time with Jesus, you don't realize it. Matthew 18 and verse 18. I'm sorry, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." Now, if you're preaching in the name of Jesus, Peter said that's what they were doing. If it's in the name of Jesus, it's by his authority. They recognized. They came to understand. The Greek word here that's translated recognize, epigenosko, full knowledge. They took full knowledge that these men had been with Jesus. That was the only answer to their confidence and to their wisdom. These were the people, you know, Annas and Caiaphas. They had all the letters after their name. They had all the training. They had all the education. And these two ignorant fishermen were knocking them flat. These two, will you let me say it this way? These two idiots were knocking them flat. Why? Because they spent time with Jesus. Now, if you want to be able to knock people flat, that's where you need to spend the time. with Jesus. Not with the television set. And not even, can I say it this way? We have good books that can be helpful, but it's not even books about Jesus that will cause you to spend time with him. It's this book. It's this book. And this book only. So, you can be an amazing witness if, number one, you'll be spirit-filled. Number two, spend time with the Master. Number three, ask for bold witness. I said earlier that these were praying people. These were praying people, and they haven't stopped yet. Because after they are let go, they're reprimanded by the council. They tell the council plainly, we've got to keep speaking about what we've seen. This council warns them further, but they release them because there's no reason that they can hold them. And furthermore, they recognize, as they say, a notable miracle has been done. Now, here's a man that the text says he was over 40 years of age. He was a crippled man. Everybody knew this guy. He was always at the temple asking alms, asking gifts of the passersby. So they all knew him. They all knew that he'd been crippled. And now he can walk. Not only walk, he can do better than most of us. He's leaping and walking and praising God. And they say a notable miracle has been done and we can't deny it. They'd like to deny it. What? You know, we need, we sing that song, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And indeed, that's true. But these guys don't care about people. All they care about is their position and their authority. So they reprimand Peter and John, and they let them go. And we read in verse 23, when they had been released, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. They were united in prayer. Now, I've said this a number of times when we've looked at this passage in the past. It's a good thing they didn't live in America in the 21st century, because they wouldn't have prayed. They'd have gotten on the phone to their attorneys and they would have launched a suit and insisted that their rights had been violated. And they may have been, but they didn't care about that aspect of things. They cared about the further testimony of Christ. So instead of hiring an attorney, they prayed. They prayed. And you and I have that same privilege. And that's, you say, isn't there more to it than that? No, that's the point. They prayed. They didn't protest. They prayed. They didn't sue. They prayed. They did the best thing that they could have done if they had had 1,000 attorneys around them with writs in their hands already. They still prayed. And so, they not only prayed, they expected God to work. Now, I've heard, and you've heard, people pray, and afterwards they say, I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, they've already asked God to do so. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, you probably need to figure out something to do, because James says, let a man ask in faith, nothing wavering, because the one who wavers will not receive anything from the Lord. So, yeah, you better get on the phone to the attorney if that's your prayer. But these people were expectant. Let me read the prayer quickly. This would be a great place to stop and spend the rest of the day examining the prayer. But they said in verse 24 that, O Lord, it is Thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, Thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage? And the peoples devise futile things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Expound that one for a while. And we will one day if you want it, but not today. So we come back, verse 29. Here's the request. They were expecting something of the Lord, and you're going to see what it is now in their request. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all boldness, all confidence. Is that the way you hear Christians pray today? Take note of their threats and keep us safe and let no harm befall us. And, you know, don't ever let us go back to jail again for our testimony for Christ. No, they said, here's what we want. We want you to give us boldness to speak your word, to proclaim the truth of Christ. And verse 30, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. Now, many of us would be tempted at verse 30 to say, okay, we'll ignore that. That was then, this is now. No, God still does miraculous things. And he does them in the same way that they're asking for them in verse 30. They're praying for God to do powerful things, miraculous things. And listen to me, the Word of God says that the most miraculous thing he does is when he saves souls. Now, yes, and they're talking about healing and signs and wonders, and that's true, and God still heals in answer to prayer. And if a miracle is necessary, God still grants miracles in answer to prayer. But the point is that people need the Lord. They need to be born again. And that's the greatest example of the power of God, because the hardest planet in the universe is nothing compared to a hard human heart. Nothing compared to a hard human heart. And so for God to save, it takes a miracle. So they asked for these things. So they were expecting God to do something. And you know something? God did something. Verse 31. And this is the third point. Pray, expect, receive. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, what was God's answer? Well, you say that the place shook. Yes, the place shook, but that's immaterial, really. Don't misunderstand. I don't mean that it has no importance. I'm just simply saying that's secondary. What did they ask for? That they would speak the word of God with boldness. What did God give them? To speak the word of God with boldness. And how did he do it? We made full circle. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit again. And so here we are, full circle. But if we don't expect God to answer, well, don't expect God to answer. But they did. And so they received that for which they asked. And by the way, how can any of us, anytime, anywhere, receive that which for which we ask when it's in the will of God? 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. We know, we have the confidence, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Is it God's will that we be bold witnesses for Christ? His word says it is, so why not ask for it? And so, amazing Christians, amazing witnesses for Christ. Spirit-filled, devoted, time spent in devotions, and finally, praying Christians, those who ask for bold witness. Now, you know, we talked earlier about our brother, our friend Scott England, and also how he was such a bold witness and consistent witness. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I want to do to remember Scott is to personally give a testament or a tract or a gospel to somebody this week. And so if you would like to show your devotion to Christ and your admiration and your remembrance of our brother Scott, I would suggest you do the same thing. Make it your business sometime this week, just one. Scott would have used a whole armload, but just one. Give a tract, a gospel, get something from back yonder, and be sure to give it to someone this week. And be sure also to remember him in your offering as well. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful to you today for every blessing. We thank you for the privilege of being witnesses for Christ Jesus. And we ask that you would use us for the furtherance of the kingdom this week and every week. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. There's one last thing before Ryan and Sheila come back. You know, you say, well, this is so simple. There's got to be more than this, or there's more. No, it isn't. This is a little booklet. I use the Gideon cards, greeting cards from time to time. This is a little booklet that comes in the pack. Can I read a few of these to you? They're testimonies. The first one says, I was lonely as I walked from the induction center to join the U.S. military. A Gideon offered me a New Testament and asked me to promise to read it, saying, this will save your life. I took it, but I didn't read it for 3 years. Okay, so for 3 years it sat dormant, but the Word of God is not inactive. He says, during a religion discussion, I remembered the testament and used it. God's word came alive to me. Jesus became my Savior, and now I am a pastor. How many people were changed and affected because Gideon was faithful to give a New Testament? What about you? You don't have... I mean, I thank God for the Gideons, but you don't have to be a Gideon to do something similar. All right? And you may never hear or know how many were affected. Let me read another one here. I was raised in the church, but I drifted away from my faith while attending a very liberal college. One day as I was crossing the campus, a Gideon handed me a small green New Testament. I began reading it each day. What did he do? Did he spend time with the Lord? I began reading it each day and reaffirmed my commitment to the Lord. After graduation, I went into full-time Christian service. How many? Because he went into full-time Christian service. But all because Gideon gave him a New Testament. I worked as a machinist for several years and I didn't know the Lord. My boss was a Gideon and he gave me a New Testament. He also told me how Jesus had died for my sins. So he gave the printed word and he gave a verbal word of witness. I turned to Christ along with my wife and daughters. A family changed because of one. And this is, but you hear this a lot from overseas. I was given a Gideon New Testament in my country. My four friends wanted to read it too. We carefully cut apart the Gospels and shared them with each other. All five of us were saved through that one New Testament. All five of us were saved. Now, the common denominator in all these, well, there's two common denominators at least. One is a faithful person who gave out the Word of God. The second is that one gift affected more people than just the one to whom it was given. Many, many people came to Christ as a result. So the same thing can be true of you walking down the street in Valdosta, Georgia, or Lake Park, or Hayhira, or Adel, or wherever. The same thing can be true. A Gospel of John, a Gospel tract, you will not know until we get to glory, how many people were affected by that? Same way with the mailbox club lessons. Dear me, how many multiplied thousands have been saved and blessed by those lessons? And you can be a part of that also. All right, we prayed. It's time to sing. Lady and gentlemen, if you would help us. Ryan, do we have that on the overhead or not?
I believe yes.
Okay, all right. We're going to sing a chorus. I want to sing it two or three times. And some of you know it. I don't know, like I say, if it's on the overhead, that's fine. Lead me to some soul today. If you don't know it, it won't take you but a minute to know it. And so we'll sing that together.